you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again.
With Scott Bogman and Chris Welch.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Does that blow your mind?
That just happened.
Welcome in. Come one, come all to the greatest show. I mean, that's the self-loving here. No, probably not the greatest show, but like a pretty good show. Like
the best show on right now.
Yeah, the best show on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network from Saturdays from noon to 3 because we're the only one. That's the one that you want to check out. Welcome in. This is In This League. You can get In This League. You can go to patreon.com/ITL Army. Join up. You go to inthisleague.com to get all the articles, or you can get your draft prep rocking with our 99 Fantasy Baseball Player Debates book. You can get on Amazon. The painstaking hours we put into that book of really honing in, because it wasn't just globbing, you know, oh, take this guy and this guy. Like, we really had to, like, go and analyze, and there wasn't a lot of information when we started setting this up. We had to go to Fantrax and NFBC and try to find out, like, where are these guys going and where are the true battles? And then we kind of had to take a step back when we made our initial list and think, like, what are people going to be battling this time? Even if the ADPs aren't super close, like, what are the decisions that you have to make? We did that. We did write-ups on it.
I'm battling obesity.
Yeah, you're battling probably the toilet, too, with your pee-peeing.
The peeps. Yep.
Yeah, for sure. But we had to, you know, take that battle to the streets and figure out, you know, whether it's guy for guy on ADP or, like, you know, what are the big decision makers of, you know, your draft strategy. So we did that. We did write-ups. We put stats on it. And we enlisted a bunch of our friends in the industry, like Spore and Steve Gardner and Jake Seeley and tons more, to judge them. And you get those results on it. So each page is jam-packed with information for only $6.99 for your draft prep. So you guys can support In This League if you like our show and you like our content and the stuff that we do. And you'll get a little bit out of it by getting your draft prep all set up. And I think it's a unique piece of, like, my favorite thing of all of it, probably because it wasn't the stuff that we had to do, was seeing how the people in the industry judge these matchups and the, like, oh, like, moments that we had about them.
Why do you turn into George Takei right there?
Oh, like, oh, well, I think we both had a few of the, oh my, we had a few of those. When we were reading, you know, the results and putting the results in, we were like, oh, you guys feel this way about AJ Pollock. Okay, so that's how that goes. Like, we were shocked by some of them. So go check it out. And those are one of those things that have inspired a lot of the content we've done off season. We'll do it in our podcast, and we're doing it here, is player debates. We think it's a helpful tool, and we've got a whole bunch of those. So, Bogman, we split them up. You can go to Bogman Sports on Twitter, or Is It The Welsh on Twitter. We each tweeted out three of these player debates apiece. So we've got six total. Talk to me about your brain process in putting these together, and then if you want to, we can start with one of yours.
Well, what I did was I just went and looked at NFBC rankings or ADPs over the last 3 weeks. And the first one that jumped out to me was, I didn't get it. When I saw this, I was like, what the hell? And Trey Mancini was going ahead of Justin Smoke, which just kind of surprised me.
Wait, because in NFBC, Mancini is going ahead of Smoke?
150.29 to 154.62. Yeah.
No, I
feel like that has to be somebody just taking Trey Mancini way too early, right? Like, someone took him at like 75 or something.
Well, no,
one
person's not going to do that.
I don't, maybe. I don't know how many drafts they've been doing. So, like, this doesn't show a list of the drafts, but I don't know, man. Like,
you want to know perspective, by the way? This is crazy. RTS Sports, Smoke is going 158. He's going 153 in NFBC, but he's going 102 in Yahoo, 123 in ESPN. That's Justin Smoke.
I think that's because those leagues all have some rubes and boobs that come to the draft and just look at last year's numbers.
Dude, and I'm looking here. You're right. Trey Mancini, 149 on NFBC, 165 on ESPN, 204 on Yahoo. 100 spot difference between those two players on Yahoo.
And the voting, I mean, and this is like the most anticlimactic voting I think we've ever had. It's 70-30 in favor of Smoke. So, you know, everyone has my initial reaction when I looked at this one, where I go, what the hell is happening? Because look, Trey Mancini's a good player. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that, you know, he's a horrible ad or anything. But
for sure,
Justin Smoak almost hit 40 bombs last year. And, you know, if you want to get into statistics and everything, Trey Mancini had an OBP of over 350 last year. Or I'm sorry, a BAPIP of over 350 last year. And Smoak's was 285. So if you're looking at one to come up and one to come down, it's Trey Mancini is coming down and Smoak is going up.
Well, do
you
this
know,
for
average
me.
Average BAPIP is about 300.
Pull up Mancini on Fangraphs. So look, let's look at Steamer projections here for a minute. Which, I heard about this. They've got new projections on Fangraphs too.
ATC and the bat.
And the bat. I don't know what those are about. We should have asked. We just had Spore on. We should ask him to tell us about it. But let's focus on Steamer though, because couldn't be heard. If you guys want to go back and check, we did a whole episode on projections with the very great Rob Silver, and he had some probably the most informative episode we did all off season of him talking about and promoting Steamer and what they do. Let's compare Smoak versus Mancini. Let's start with average and Justin Smoak on Steamer with a projection of 249.
274. So that goes to Mancini.
Okay. Homers, Justin Smoak, 30.
21.
Runs, Justin Smoak, 79.
68.
Okay. So homers and runs to Smoak, average to Mancini.
Yep.
RBIs to Smoak, 88.
75.
All right, stolen bases don't matter. What about BAPIP? What is the BAPIP at? Because Smoak's is at about the same, 282.
329.
So it came down a little bit. I want to know about these other projections. Because let's look at the bat projections real quick.
Okay.
What is average for
266.
Mancini? 255. What are homers?
22.
So 22 for Mancini, 33 for Smoak. And they have him in the 80s for runs and RBIs.
71 and 67.
Okay, so what does NFBC see here? Is it the left field eligibility for Mancini that they might be getting?
You know what? That might be it because they're drafting holds, you know? So you can't trade, and there's no free agency. It's 50 rounds. So that could be what it is, the multiple eligibility. But I just can't imagine, like, you know, you're supposed to get 10 more homers and 15 more apiece in runs and RBI from a player. Is that worth 20 points in batting average? And I don't know that I'm convinced that, you know, Mancini's going to hit this well again, having a over 350 BAPIP last year. You know, and Smoak was on the low side at 285. I mean, like I said, average is 300. So seeing that one when I was scrolling through to make these lists just kind of caught me completely off guard. So I feel like most people are going to be on the Smoak side, but 30% are on Mancini so far.
It's crazy to me. It makes me laugh when I think of Baltimore Orioles. I've got this Orioles friend that he's a hardcore lifelong Orioles, but we joke about just like,
terrible.
I know it's a horrible life, but just like what it must be like, because all those guys in all Baltimore are like the same. They're like cavemen. They're like Trumbo hit ball. Trumbo hit far, and then Chris Davis, what do you think? Yeah, Chris Davis hit ball. And then you got a guy like Ryan Flaherty that walks in and he's like, hey everybody, and they're like, get out of here, nerd. And you know, they're just a bunch of like muscle bound idiots that are over there. And that's probably completely not true, by the way. But
where's my Adderall, nerd?
Get my pills. That's just my assumption. Like, they don't know how to walk. All they do is strike out or hit homers. That's just all that they do in Baltimore. 100%. So I think about that when I think about Mancini. But yeah, I got to be honest with you, the initial reaction, which has moved to 71% in favor of Smoak, that's where I'm at, and I don't see it changing whatsoever. So I am taken aback a little bit of NFBC having him like five spots higher having Trey Mancini five spots higher than Justin Smoak. It's just got to be eligibility reasons. That's it to me.
It has to be that. And the next one I have here, I just want to do another one real quick, the Welsh. Jose Peraza versus Jorge Polanco. And Peraza's going ahead of Polanco. And it's not that I think that Jorge Polanco is this amazing player. I think he's probably a pretty good MI option for you. But we just talked about in the last segment how Nick Senzel is probably going to wind up playing shortstop for the Reds.
I believe
they have Scooter Gennett, and they just signed Eugenio Suarez to a gigantic contract extension. So Peraza going ahead of Polanco is just really surprising to me.
On NFBC?
Yeah.
Did you label the spots?
Yeah, I labeled them there. It's 208.8 for Peraza and 215.4 for Jorge Polanco.
Really? See, this is another...
I mean, are people afraid of Nick Gordon? I mean, how far away is Nick Gordon, the Welsh?
I mean, he's not coming up this year. He's not coming up this year.
Right. That was my thought process, too.
This was an easy one to me. Like, I'm trying to look on... Fantasy Pros overall to see if I can even find either one of these guys.
You're going to have to control F. Yeah.
I'm just not even finding. I see Jose Peraza comes up, I think, first, 227. Did I miss Polanco, maybe?
Or is he... I mean, look, Polanco was going pretty deep for a long time. But look,
Polanco comes in at 260.
13-13 last year. He had 60 runs and 74 driven in, and he hit 256, which isn't fantastic. But Peraza gives you no difference in batting average, fewer runs, way fewer homers, no RBI, and he steals 10 more bases. So, I mean, look, stolen bases are harder to come by. But not only is Peraza not going to hit three other categories that Jorge Polanco is going to beat him in, but the only question mark is batting average, and he has Nick Senzel breathing down his neck. So how long is Jose Peraza going to be up in the majors? So to see that one once again in NFBC, where you would think people at least take it a little bit more seriously because of how much money is going into it. It was surprising to see Peraza still going ahead of a guy like Jorge Polanco.
It's that late speed. I mean, Polanco to me is a low-end stuff and things player where he qualifies, at least statistically, in getting you every area. You know, he's going to get you runs and RBIs, a little bit of homers, a little bit of stolen bases. He also hit for a pretty low BABIP last year. You know, the year prior in 2016, he had about a 328. He was down to 278. And, you know, he's been in that 300 range. Projections, I'm looking at projections, they've got him hitting about 25 spots up on BABIP, 25 points higher in a BABIP. And his average, you don't see this a whole bunch. Very few players do you see dramatic average jumps in projections. We see it this coming year with Rougned Odor. He's jumping up 20 points on Steamer, where he hit 256 in 2017. Steamer's projecting a 274 average this coming year, with very similar numbers across the board outside of the average bumping up. I get why Peraza might be going over, because if people think, you know, people are putting themselves in their hat from last season, and if they see the stolen bases coming up, you just got a super, super late stolen base maven. But I'm with you. I'm Polanco on this.
I mean,
for all of it.
Here's something, and this may be the factor. All right, Nick Gordon is hitting 421 in spring, but I mean, he's still not going to get the call, right?
He could, but you know, my problem with him, since I mean, I've seen him multiple times, I think he's a good quote defender, but from the overall perspective of like fielding your position and stuff like that, like I just think he's kind of weak. I don't like him as a shortstop. I like him more as a second baseman, to be honest with you. But he does hit. He's got that hit tool.
Here's another thing, and let me know if this concerns you at all. The Twins brought in Eric Ibar. So Eric Ibar is with them in spring training, and he's hitting 298 right now. And it looks like Jorge Polanco is hitting exactly what he hit last year at 258 right now.
Yeah, I mean,
is that's the only thing I can think of. Like, I still think Polanco is going to wind up with the job, but is Eric Ibar the thing that's scaring people off?
What are Peraza's projections? Can you look real quick? Because the funny thing, when I look at this one, I'm more surprised about the other one, the Mancini versus Smoke one. That one surprises me more than this one, because
that's all guaranteed stuff, right?
I think people are focusing on the speed, but what are projections looking like with Peraza right now?
All right, for Steamer, they got him at 122 games, a 278 average. Like, it's almost copy from last year. 53 runs, 7 bombs, 46 RBI, and 22 swipes.
I mean, like, what are you really getting there? What are you getting that's so much more? Now, at the end of the day, it's not like these, like one is going crazy over the other or something like that. But I don't know, man.
Yeah, I mean, I guess like maybe they're in the same situation of losing their job. I just think Jorge Polanco is going to wind up with a job at shortstop. I don't think, you know, he's 24 years old. He's got a lot of room to grow. I don't think they're just going to hand it to Eric Ibar.
I totally agree with you. I'd be curious that this is one that I would have liked to see some comments on. I would, you know, because sometimes we'll get some comments. We've got some comments on. We've got a three-way pitcher match that looks like it has a couple comments on it. And people like to, you know, like just kind of weigh in on some of these. I'd like to know, or someone
make
a case.
The only comment I got was like, man, I hate Jose Peraza.
Yeah, me too.
I mean, that was kind of the only comment I got, which is I kind of figured people would give me crap for throwing this one out there. But the reason I did is because Peraza is going ahead of Polanco, which is just flat out surprising to me.
Yeah, I mean, we probably should get some NFBC guys. You know, get a Vlad back on, get a Rob back on, see what the deal with that is. We got plenty more debates. We got a couple more. I have got, when we come back, we'll talk about the first two that I have. And, I mean, the first one might actually get the most conversation piece here. Two stud outfielders, two guys that you are going to want, I want, and I think you and I have both dictated as players that we want on our teams, that we are pitting up against each other, and the results are fascinating. Plus, probably some SP3s, and I've got a three-way pitcher debate that we're going to talk about. Plus, Bogman has still got one of those left. So don't go anywhere. We're going to talk more player debates through the rest of this for your draft prep. You got plenty of draft prep over at InThisLeague.com. You can read the results of all of our mock drafts, all the different kinds we've done. You can check out the ranks, listen to the podcast, go get the book. What are you waiting for? Don't leave us, of course. Stay here for, we still got, 40 minutes or something like that. But don't go anywhere. Scott Bogman, Chris Welsh, In This League, on Twitter at IsItWelsh and Bogman Sports. We'll be back, suckers.
Right back.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
How would you like to manage
In This League
this year?
I don't know.
What do you mean you don't know? This is a chance to manage in the big leagues.
Let me think it over, will you?
Scott Bogman. I got Chris Welsh.
On the other line about some white walls. I'll talk to you later.
Lou Brown. Hey, did you know every 3 minutes an American is diagnosed with blood cancer? Unfortunately, only 30% of patients are able to find compatible bone marrow donors within their family. But that's how you can help. Go to dkms.org/fantasy today and sign up online and register as a donor. DKMS will send you a swab kit, which takes legitimately like 1 minute to do. You swab each of your cheeks, send it back to them. Boom. That's it. You're done. DKMS will then try and match you up with a person in need of a donation. The process is easy. Best of all, you can actually save someone's life. Not like, pretend save someone's life, but like literally save someone's. So check it out, DKMS.com or DKMS.org/fantasy to see how you can help today. We are back and we are talking about fantasy baseball player debates that Bogman and I have put together, not just like the ones in our book, the 99 Fantasy Baseball Player Debates, which you can go get right now, but ones that are obviously not in the book and ones that are kind of honed in on like current ADPs. And I'm still kind of reeling from the ones that you put together because you're right. And I see why you picked those, because you kind of picked on NFBC. If the common person were to just look at like Yahoo, those are not going to make sense. I mean, Mancini and Smoke are literally 100 ADP spots difference on Yahoo. So why would they be? Yet Mancini's going ahead of Justin Smoke in NFBC. There's some shenanigans going on, some tomfoolery.
Yeah, I don't get it. It's I get it's got to be the late speed thing. It's got to be the late speed thing with Peraza. But Mancini over Smoke, I can't make excuses for. I don't understand that one at all.
No, I don't either. Now, we got a couple more here. This one could potentially dominate here. Or maybe we'll you know, fly through it because these are such popular names. These are probably the most popular names of a debate that we're going to do here on this episode today. But these two outfielders, prime targets for different reasons, of course. This pairing is going to be Manny Margot with the Padres versus Gregory Polanco with the Pirates. I'm going to say versus the Pirates, but not versus. Both of these guys, Manny Margot, big-time prospect forever. Little bummer when he went to San Diego, but man, he has just embraced everything. He had a little bit of injury stuff. I remember seeing him in spring training last year with injuries. This year, oh man, just that one game I went to, I was sitting front row a couple weeks ago. Padres, White Sox, Manny Margot leads off, first at bat, boom, leadoff homer, and I was just like, drop it.
You said he looks jacked too, right?
He looks strong. Does. He looks bigger, man. He looks bigger. He looks set. He looks primed, and he's like this prime 2020 type of guy. I got to go look and see what projections are on him. I mean, I don't personally care because I'm drafting, you know, every piece that I can. Projections are, well, no, I was about to say projections are light. I wouldn't even call it that. By the way, the one of the new projections on Fangraphs called The Bat, that is Derek Carty. Derek Carty's okay. Projections. So, and the other guy, I'm not sure who the other guy is.
I would
is.
Hate to see his Arizona Diamondbacks batters.
Oh, we should actually do that. We should look at that. Actually, I'm 100% dying to see that now because Goldie's going to be like four homers and 12 RBIs in 180 games. But Manny Margot's steamer projections right now, they're actually really low, I think, on him, like aggressively. 259 average, 14 homers, 21 stolen bases, 70 runs, and 55 RBIs. The best projection here is actually, I was going to say fan. Yeah, it is. Oh. Technically, it's fans. This other one called the ATC, which is, whose is it? This is Ariel Cohen. I'm not familiar who that is, but that is Ariel Cohen's projection. It's similar to fans, but the fans projection is 147 games with 17 homers, 25 stolen bases, hitting 274 with 95 runs and 68 RBIs. Call me a homer. I'm much more on the fan side than I am the steamer side.
Yeah, it's funny because I just had to go look and see what Carty had for Goldie.
Okay.
And it's basically exactly what Steamer has. So it's not far off.
Oh, it's not far. Okay. Even though everyone's crapped all over Goldie.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. So that's still the projection is still fairly solid, 28 and 17. But anyway, yeah, man, you own like every single share of Manny Margot.
Anywhere so, I can, I'm trying to.
I'm convinced him. He's going to break his leg like week two, right?
100%.
Blown ACL. No chance he finishes. Outfielder.
Yeah, no chance he finishes the season.
He's going to Dexter Fowler himself.
It's guaranteed. One. Now, Polanco on Steamer, when we want to take a look at that, projections 268 average with 18 homers, 12 stolen bases, 60s on the runs and the RBI. So he's a little bit more of a power guy. I'm actually...
I'm only playing 128 games, Steamer.
Yeah, they do. And I'm kind of tripped out. Like, I guess I got to be sold on why is Gregory Polanco going to be a much better average option than Manny Margot. I think Manny Margot is more of a polished hitter than he's being given credit for.
Yeah, I think this is, you know, Polanco hit 328 in 2014 in the minors. He's never hit above 258 in the majors. So, but he was, look, that was in triple play in 2014. Triple A. What did I say? Triple play.
I mean, triple play is awesome. I wish we had
triple
that
play
right
98.
Now.
Remember when we used to play that?
Dude, all I want to do right now. Like, I want, like, you know what? Everyone's making such a big deal about Ninja and Drake playing Fortnite. How about Bogman and the Welsh playing triple play 98 on Twitch?
98. I love that. And isn't that the one where the different pitchers, like the splitter was pink and the slider was orange,
that
the fastball
right.
was green or red or something?
That sounds right. That sounds right to me. And Bonds, he wouldn't be in the game because he wouldn't sign things.
Yeah, what'd they name him? Didn't they name him his lawyer or something like that?
Dude, I don't remember. It was all. I thought it was always funny, the different names that like the show had to put on him or whatever it was, like MLB. What was the EA Sports game at that time? Back then?
That was Triple Play. That was the
that
EA
was
one.
Triple Play. Okay, yeah. There's always some weird name.
And remember, you would put in, they would have the random name maker, but then whoever would say his name, it'd be like, Barry Bonds. Like it would wait a second. It would be like if you took Luis Gonzalez and Marcus Stroman, it'd be like Luis
Stroman. Yeah, exactly. All I want to do now is play triple play. Can we do that? What system was that? Was that PlayStation?
That was like PlayStation 2, I think.
Was it 2?
I think so.
I do. You know,
I mean, 98 might have been PlayStation original.
I remember like not only PlayStation 1, but I remember like Dreamcast.
Oh yeah, Dreamcast was the first like super sick graphics one.
You want to know the thing, not to get off on a tangent, but you want to know sticks out the most to me was, I don't know if you remember this, Nintendo had a virtual reality system. I cannot remember what it was called, but it was like a tabletop thing that you like, you know, you put your eyes into and everything was red. It was like just red and there was like a tennis game. And I'm trying to remember what that was. It was
I don't remember that at all.
You don't?
No, not even a little bit.
I'm typing it. It's like not Switch.
Are you sure you didn't dream this?
Oh, I see it right now. What is this? It's called Virtual Boy. Is that
Virtual
right?
Boy.
Nintendo Virtual Boy. I think that's what it was.
Okay.
I don't know. Maybe that's not that. That's like
all I
want to
do is make inappropriate jokes right now.
So. I mean, it's different. Virtual. I know where you're going with that. All right,
like Game Boy. You know, that's
sure.
what they had. Virtual.
For
Boy.
Sure.
Sure.
All right. So Gregory Polanco, Manny Margot. We look at their projections.
Away from what Bogman wants to say. Let's go.
Let's get out of here. Last thing before we talk about the results are, let's see if we can pull up the ADPs. Do you happen to know off the top of your head here?
The ADPs for Polanco and Margot? Yeah, it was 139.9 for Margot and 147.1 for Polanco. So within picks of each other.
Is that NFBC?
NFBC, yep.
Those seem low. Why do those seem so low? Is it because I draft them in like 110? I either draft Margot at 115?
No, that's kind of right because of, you know, how many outfielders there are.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, outfielder is, it's thinner than it has been in past years, but there's always going to be value in outfielders.
152 so. On Fantasy Pros ADP for Gregory Polanco, 154 for Margot. So they're within two of each other.
You take these guys way over Smoke and Mancini, right?
Yes.
And Smoke and Mancini are going, you know, like 10 picks later.
100%. So, we posed the question on Twitter, who'd you rather have in standard 5x5? 54% are in favor of Manny Margot over Gregory Polanco. Both of these guys are everyone's darling. I mean, you can go to a podcast and that podcast will love one of these two. It's just what it is. You know, we've been doing it since November and plenty of other people have. I mean, Spore loves Polanco. I love Margot, and it just the list goes on. So these are two hyped players. There is no chance in my brain that you can get Polanco or Margot at 150. Like, it's not worth the risk. I would much rather take them in the 120s to 130 range.
Yeah, around 10, 11.
It's like
somewhere around there.
Like Fantasy Pros says, 12, Ronald Acuna with the average rank or ADP of 133. That's not happening in normal places. He's going off at 112 in NFBC and 105 on CBS. And then, why is that for real, Yahoo? It's 191? That's weird. That is
for
weird.
For Margot?
No, for Acuna. I'm sorry.
For Acuna.
Acuna. Because I was comparing against – all I was making the reference is like – Fantasy Pros says, hey, Ronald Acuna at 133. No, sir, you can't get him at 133. So same thing with Margot and Polanco. No, sir, you cannot get them in the 150s.
Yeah, I mean, the tough thing with Fantasy Pros is they have the ADP from the entire offseason up till now, which I guess for ESPN and Yahoo isn't too long ago. But for NFBC, I just shrink it down in the last 3 weeks. In the last 3 weeks, it's Margot going ahead of Polanco. So I'm not that surprised. I do have these guys. This is one of those ones where I had to go look, and I have Margot at 29 and Polanco at 30 in outfield. I'm going to move them up because I have like Domingo San. These are my old rankings. I have Domingo Santana ahead of them. Has to move down. Cespedes with the injury has to move down. AJ Pollock has to move down because I hate him. So
why do you hate him so much?
I don't actually hate him. He's just like I can't move him. I can't move him off of 22 Pollock, but dude's going to get injured. I have zero shares.
100%. No shares whatsoever.
Zero. Do you 100% have zero shares?
Do you have a hardline stance on one of these two guys?
No, I feel like I'm the only one that doesn't. Like I would draft either one of these guys, but I don't think I have either one of them. I might have one Margot share.
Yeah, well, because we play in all the leagues with me, so.
Right. So, and also, I mean, I like Polanco, but I'm not taking a hardline stance on Polanco either.
Yeah.
So.
The other debate that we put out there, and then when we come back from break, we will finish off with the last of Bogman's and the last of mine. I thought this was an interesting one you put together. It was two pitchers that are in the same realm. Kyle Hendricks versus Luke Weaver. And even though Luke Weaver seems like an obvious behind Kyle Hendricks by name value, there's a lot of people that are firm believers in Weaver. Hendricks, though, it's nice that you got Darvish in there and, you know, Quintana, so he can move down a spot. There's a lot of offensive support. What do the ADPs look on these guys? Where are they going?
So Weaver is 113.6 and Hendricks is 116.6.
Does this surprise you?
Last 3 weeks.
I mean, Weaver's peripherals, like, make sense why he is ranked above. But just, like, staring at their names, does it, like, shock you a little bit that Weaver is going multiple spots ahead of Hendricks?
To be honest, it doesn't really, because I think at the end of the day, everyone's a strikeout whore, right? Everybody wants that gigantic strikeout upside, and you have a soft tosser versus a strikeout type of guy here. So I think in a lot of cases, and Kyle Hendricks has let us down before, right? So he goes 16-8, and last year he's 7-5, and he only has 24 starts. So, I mean, the ERA is still nice. It's around, you know, just over 3. It's amazing. The whip is pretty solid at 1.19. That was really good. The xFIP isn't crazy, 3.76. So, like, Kyle Hendricks is a solid guy. He's the type of guy that you draft when you have some question marks about your ERA. Like, maybe you draft a Chris Archer, you know what I mean? Who had a very high ERA last season. Then you pair him with a Kyle Hendricks. I think Luke Weaver is the type of guy that you draft when you've taken some upside pitchers already. You know, maybe you're the guy that took early pitching. Maybe you took two of your first four picks for pitchers. And now you take Luke Weaver just because, hey, look, this guy fits in with my staff. He could break out this year. And, you know, he's a high strikeout type of guy. So I don't think it surprises me, but I think you have a lot of Luke Weaver helium moving into the season.
A lot. And he's I would say Luke Weaver is one of the top, like, stat players. And what I mean by that is everything you look at tells this story of, like, my God, what he did in 60 innings. Like, 3.8 ERA, that's actually pretty good for a rookie. But he had a 2.9 xFIP. My God. 10.7 K per nine, 7 wins to 2 losses, had just 1 homer per nine. He was even pitching to a higher BABIP, and his walks for a rookie were serviceable at 2.5 per nine. Those numbers across the board just scream, this is a guy that is a perennial, like, this is going to be the next, like, Chris Archer. And I think that's what a lot of people are looking at and assuming, and I'm okay with that. He was a pretty highly regarded pitching prospect. I'm a little bit more weary of the high price. Not to say that I'm not comfortable taking Weaver above Hendricks. I just don't think I want either of these guys.
Steamer has Hendricks ERA at 4.05.
Really?
Raising a full run from last year. They got him at 11-9, 142 strikeouts to 48 walks. It's still pretty good. 4.05 ERA and the whip coming up almost, a tenth of a point to, or a full tenth of a point from 119 to 129. And his strikeouts per nine going down, his walks per nine also going down a little bit. But they got him up over a 4 ERA, and they're the only one out of the projections that have Kyle Hendricks over a 4 ERA. I mean, that's just tough when he had – it's like they go, oh, well, he went from 2.13 to 3.03, so this must be the year where he jumps up to 4.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, and the projections are all really nice. I mean, ATC has a 3.5. Steamer is a 3.8. You know, even beat the 3.81, beating the 3.88. So there's a lot that's in favor there. I guess I'm on Team Weaver here, but I'm not aggressive on either one of these guys. You agree?
Yeah, I'm kind of the same way. If I had to pick one, it'd probably be Weaver.
Okay, we'll go with the strikeouts. All right, well, we got two more debates coming up. Don't you go anywhere, because you want to be in this league right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. That's Scott Bogman. I'm Chris Welsh. We got a trio for you. You're not going to want to miss it. It's a good pitching one, so don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Keep it in a three-way.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things, just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
In this league.
I thought we were going to be just friends.
What? Friends
in this league.
In the dark.
In the dark. During the day. During draft time? When you're on the clock? Listen to In This League while you're on the clock? Is that dangerous?
This sounds like you're trying to make an Afternoon Delight song.
Afternoon Delight. Listen to In This League while on the clock.
Ooh. Oh, God.
Doesn't work.
Yeah, stick to analysis.
Yeah, so. I will do that. Stick to something. We got a last couple debates here. You guys want more of it, you can listen to the podcast, the In This League Fantasy Baseball podcast, which you can catch on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, wherever you do it. You can go on a podcast app like Podcast Addict, and you can search us, and we will be right there for you. And we have massive loads of prep episodes, loads of prep, Bogman. Ranks to ranks analysis to episode on stats and episode on projections, all that stuff. Plus the most recent draft forum where we had the great Paul Sport and the great Howard Bender on, and Bogman vomits on the episode.
I do vomit. Yeah, that is a 100% factual statement. That happens.
Aggressive, like, yeah! Type of vomit. Ooh, that hurt. It's
almost exactly what it sounded like.
Did it hurt as much as what I just did?
No, it actually didn't hurt. Because when I threw up from all the drinking, like the next like week, my whole stomach hurt.
Yeah, so you worked your abs out. You did some core.
Yeah, I was like doing some core, exactly. So this was just, couple barfs and it's over with. So
24 and a half peeps Bogman ate. You get I put together kind of a like a
it's probably a low number. I feel like there's someone that could easily do 50 with no problem.
I feel like
it's just not me.
I feel like there's a couple army members right now that maybe we need to make the peep challenge, like who can beat Bogman. I think there's a couple people in the army that could take down that challenge.
Why would they want to?
I mean, that's that's a great question. I don't know, because we'll talk about it probably.
I mean, we will talk about it. I tell you what, if you want to eat peeps until you barf, go ahead and then let us know the number at which you threw up.
And like I said before, at the beginning of the show, if you missed it, you can catch this on demand on iTunes. You search it, or you just go to fantasysportsnetwork.com/radio. You can catch all 3 hours of the episode. But I said in the first segment, like, I am officially nominating peep eating for a last place finish for your leagues. If your guy finishes last place, they have to try to eat 40 peeps in 30 minutes.
Here's a problem I find with that. And it may not be a problem because Amazon, but in October, it's not like peeps are just available at Safeway. You know what I mean?
Great point. Amazon
is fine. How about, can I maybe candy corn? Maybe like a
I could kill
candy corn.
Oh boy, I'll tell you, I could kill. Like how? These are fascinating points. Howard really sells how much he loves peeps. Like he
peeps
has a passion
gross.
For
just
them.
Marshmallow with sugar on top.
One peep is okay. Any more than that's gross. I really like candy corn, but to your point, after like when you get to a second handful, I'm usually kind of like, yeah, I'm done.
Right.
I wonder what that would be like. Or how about, everyone would love this. But
how about a bag of the candy corn until you puke?
Oh, God, a whole bag. I was about to say, like, the Easter Reese's Pieces, the bunnies. But, I mean, you'll love that, but
I wouldn't want to do that because I feel like I might ruin the Reese's Pieces. Like, I already wasn't a fan of peeps. So
you know what my favorite thing is I love the Starburst jelly beans.
Okay.
Those
yeah,
are the
I like
best.
Those too.
They're out there right now. I can't eat them. That's all I want is start. See, I want a whole bag. I could eat a whole bag of them, and I would be fine. Get into two bags, and we got a problem. I mean, that's also why I look how I look. So,
yeah, I just like I wouldn't want to eat anything I actually like for fear of it being ruined by overexposure. You know, it's kind of like when you catch your kid smoking a cigarette and then you make them smoke an entire pack.
Oh, is that, is that the parenting? Is that what we do?
I mean, I don't, I never smoke, so.
Yeah.
But that was, I think that was an old King of the Hill.
So that's a punishment. So. If you finish last in your league, you have to eat Peeps. And if you guys want, let me know if you like the idea and if you're going to implement it, or if you guys have better. I am always curious, what do you guys do for the last place finisher? I'm cool if it's football, but I'd love to hear baseball, because I just feel like not enough baseball people have shame prizes, quote unquote.
Yeah, I think plenty of them have shame, but not shame prizes.
Yeah.
So
why don't we talk about your last one, and then we'll get to the trio that I've got for player debates.
You know, I saw this one, and I don't know. It kind of surprised me, and then it kind of grew on me. So Travis Shaw is going off at 89.7 on NFBC.
You hate Nick, him.
I'm not a Travis Shaw guy. Everybody knows that. But Nick Castellanos is going at 95.7. So within six spots there, which was just kind of surprising to me, because I have a fairly wide gap in between Travis Shaw and Nick Castellanos on my rankings. So, and I'm, like I said, I am not a Travis Shaw guy. I have him, you know, below Devers. I feel like, you know, I don't know that his last season of 100 RBI with 30 homers and 10 swipes is really repeatable. Steamer seems to agree with me. And they've got him down at dropping 34 points in batting average down to 249, dropping five homers and five stolen bases, and let's see, what is it, 20 RBI. So Steamer is kind of with me where he's still a good third baseman who's going to hit a lot of homers and drive in some runs and swipe some bases, but he's more of a 250 hitter, not a 270 hitter. He's more of a 25 homer guy, not a 30 homer guy, and he's not going to steal nearly as many bases. But when you look at Nick Castellanos' numbers here, they're almost the exact same. The projections.
And he qualifies in the outfield because he's going to play in the outfield this year.
And he's hitting 30 points better than Travis Shaw, according to these Steamer projections. I just, that's one where I kind of went and I went, ew, no, I'd much rather have Shaw, even though I don't like Shaw. But when I looked at it, I was like, maybe you got a point here, Steamer. Maybe you got a point here, NFBC. What do you think of this one?
I think that's interesting. You're selling me an interesting story, because third base is, it's a whole thing. That's the best way that I can put it. Third base is a whole thing this year.
It's a thing for sure, yeah.
You go get Arenado or Bryant.
After seven,
yeah,
I don't
like it. Well, you're fine if you get those guys, but then when you're dealing in this range, it is tough. I kind of like the idea because, you know, NFBC, that's fine where they have it, but when I look at the Fantasy Pros overall ADP, Travis Shaw is 88 on the list. The only place that has him post 100 is Yahoo at 124. Everyone else has got him high. CBS has him at 76. That's pretty high for Travis Shaw.
I feel like Castellanos is going to be way below 100 on everything except NFBC.
ESPN has Castellanos at 94. They are the highest over ESPN.
Okay.
But to your point, CBS, Yahoo, and Real Time Sports all have him in the 130s.
See?
That's 50-spot difference. To your point, I'm with you, dude. I think I'm game on that. If I were given the choice...
Right.
You know, and also, here's what this would amount to for me. I would look and I'd see Shaw there and I'd say, if I'm battling and I'm like, oh man, Barrios or Shaw, I'm going to go the other way because, like you pointed out, I've got that option. Castellanos I can take probably in a couple rounds. And I think I'm cool with that.
Yeah. And that was kind of the point that I was making is, you know, if they're so close, if they're within six picks of each other, I think I'm still going with Travis Shaw because, you know, the Brewers ran more than anybody else. There's really the Tigers lineup has really gotten ugly. You know what I mean? It's you have this Cabrera, Castellanos, Victor, Martinez, 3-4-5. And then the guys ahead of them are Leonis Martin and Iglesias. And behind them are James McCann, Candelario Matuk, and Dixon Machado. So the lineup is just ugly, and the Brewers lineup is nice and sexy this year, adding Yelich and Kane and Domingo Santana and Ryan Braun. So I that lineup is really good. So if they're close, I'm still going Travis Shaw. But if they're not close, like the Welsh said, if they're a 50 pick difference, three or four rounds, I'm definitely going to take Castellanos.
And it just pushes me in that territory where I'm going to know I've probably got at least a two-round. Where I need to think about taking Shaw, I've got a two-round cushion. Not to mention, you know, I was sitting here about to, you know, kind of slamming third base. There's a couple other guys in Moustakas and Kyle Seager that I'm more than happy owning and having. So if I were to miss out, more and more, it makes me not want Travis Shaw is, I guess, where I'm getting at. Because of the options. If I miss out on Travis Shaw and then, Castellanos goes and that sucks, you still got Seager and Moustakas. Those guys are okay, and it gives more reason why. And for Castillo's kind of reminds me of our, this is like our Jose Abreu first base comp thing, where everyone focuses on Rizzo, Bellinger, and Freeman, and then you look at Jose Abreu, who's going like 15 picks later or 12 picks later, and the guy is just, he's an equal to those players, right. But he doesn't get treated like that. Last one, Boggs, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Triple threat match. Who'd you rather have in standard 5x5? Aaron Sanchez, Blue Jays. Kenta Maeda. Dodgers. Taiwan Walker, Diamondbacks. Lay out the ADP, and I feel like Kenta Maeda is the guy that doesn't belong on this list, but I know he does.
Well, he's the sandwich. So it's going Aaron Sanchez at 197, Maeda at 198, and Walker at 198.5. So wow. These guys are all separated by a pick and a half.
Okay. Do you want? Let's start with the results here. The people do not agree with Kenta Maeda. Kenta Maeda only has 15% of the vote on this one.
Mm.
Dominating are the other two, and they are very close. Taiwan Walker is the leader at 44%. Aaron Sanchez at 41%. Maeda down there at 15%. We had a couple comments on this one. Average Joe's Fantasy at Average Joe's Fantasy says Walker's going to far outperform his ADP. And then Lou is back in here. Lou Salvati says, this one is pretty close. I think we have seen the most from Sanchez, so I voted him. All three have great upside for their ADP. Maeda is on the best team, which is huge, too. Then Walker has this year's MVP on his side, the Humidor. This year's MVP, the Humidor, he says.
It's been the MVP and the Boogeyman all in one show here.
It is the Boogeyman, for sure. So it's split, you know? He is right about the Maeda one, where you've got the team. Aaron Sanchez seems to kind of have the ceiling, but Walker seems to be the total package here with the Humidor. He once much, you know, beloved, and he seems to be kind of finding a home there. There's a lot of things that are pointing in this direction. This is Walker for me.
Yeah, it's Walker for me too, and I think the Humidor is part of it. But also, I feel like, you know, we talked about this a little bit earlier, and it's a big thing that I've been pointing out all offseason, is you take a guy that has been in a situation for a little bit, not really performed very well, and you move him to a new team, and they tweak something. You know, they tweak something with him, and he gets much better. And I think we kind of saw that with Taiwan Walker. His ERA dropped from, 4.56 and 4.22 to 3.49 in a much worse hitter's park. In Chase Field. Now the Humidor comes in. I don't know that he's going to improve on those numbers at all, but he could come up a little bit better. And he was only 9-9 last year. I think that's a little bit of bad luck. Now that XFIP was around 4.34, but none of these guys are burning up. I mean, Kenta Maeda was relegated to the bullpen last year, and Aaron Sanchez, I almost call him Aaron Blisters because
Blister God 2.0.
Eight starts because of blisters last season. So
yeah.
Who knows?
Will you pull up Aaron Sanchez's Fangraphs numbers? Let's do our last comparison. Yeah. Let's do Steamer.
Yeah.
Walker versus Sanchez, because I think Maeda was eliminated from this. So you want to start with ERA?
Yeah. Well, let's start with game started, because they only have 24 for Aaron Sanchez.
All 32 for Walker.
Okay.
What's the record?
9-8.
11-11, the Steamer has. How many innings?
139.
186 here. K per nine.
7.39.
8.4. So Steamer, that would be 168 strikeouts. They're having
114 only for Sanchez because of the only 24 starts.
This is going to be the interesting one. Give me Sanchez's ERA last year and then the projected Steamer this year.
His ERA last year was 4.25 and it's 4.45 projected.
Walker's ERA was 349 last year, but Steamer's projecting a 442, a full run.
I think 442 is pretty close to his XFIP, though.
It is. 434 was his XFIP last year.
But that was his XFIP without the humidor.
Uh-huh.
Let's remember that.
Uh-huh.
So I think you should bring that down. I think Steamer should bring it back down closer to four if you're going to be conservative.
They had 3.5 last year. I mean, I would say, where's all the bad luck coming from? You got the XFIP. There's not quite a full run difference, but there's some difference there. I think there's a lot of, there's a plus side stuff. And, you know, he hasn't given a whole lot in, you know, previous years to be, you know, like crazy about for projections to jump at. Maybe the best year was that rookie year in 2013. Otherwise, well, 14 in a couple starts, he was okay. But in the fours is relative. There's a good supporting cast. Like it was said, the humidor is there. I think Taiwan Walker is one of the sneakier starting pitcher guys to pick. But I also like Sanchez. I'm not against having both of those guys on a team if I took some like really good, you know, starting pitchers early on.
Yeah, and I have Maeda in between these guys. I have him sandwiched because I think, if I remember correctly, Maeda was relegated to the bullpen, but I think he was really good in his starts in the second half. So I think, and he plays for the Dodgers, which is a nice ballpark. You know, obviously a lot of run support, so the wins could be there for him. So I think Maeda is, I think he's definitely one of the more underrated players. And I think you can get him in most leagues fairly low. Let's see. His ERA dropped to under 4 in the second half. It wasn't that fantastic now that I'm looking at it, but he had more strikeouts and he had a higher K per 9 too. So he did get a bit better.
There you go.
But yeah, so I don't know. I like Maeda, but I'm definitely going with Walker. I think it's Walker than the other two guys.
Jimmy Walker. Well, if you guys are prepping for your drafts, go pick up the 99 Fantasy Baseball Player Debates. Go to it right now on Amazon or inthisleague.com. Get the Kindle or PDF at our website. Make sure that you catch all the content we got at inthisleague.com, and don't miss this sucker. Get this on demand. Get your draft prep ready. Go rock those drafts. That's Scott Bogman. I'm Chris Welsh. Go win some leagues. Good night now.
Saw ya.